Hello again, Jenny. We are on the site of the Abbey ruins here. Stretches for miles. It's also an old graveyard. You see headstones dating back hundreds of years. Some of them worn so thin you can't read what's on them anymore. Others still bearing very sad and poignant memorials to generations of Kenilworth families. You see the same name cropping up again and again. And this is a place of quiet and seclusion for me. I've written many poems here. Pretty much all of them have been confined to my bonfires. I never thought they were good enough. But at least it got things out of my head. At least it settled my heart. I can take you for a bit of a walk around the site. Describe to you the red sandstone buildings, carved with the initials of visitors who've been here, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately. There are graffiti that goes back 300 years. That's it's actually become historic in its own right. Imagine some teenage boy trying to impress his girlfriend in the 18th century, carving his initials here. I can still see a few. Yeah. And the gatehouse, steel gate, so you can't get inside. Norman arches. The site of the fireplace, where it would have been a huge roaring fire. The surrounding area was mostly forest in those days, the Forest of Arden, mentioned in Shakespeare's plays. And timber would have been brought here to keep the abbey fires burning. Pretty much most of the men who lived here were canons, an important position. Kenilworth Abbey was at one point one of the most powerful and wealthiest in the country, which is why Henry VIII targeted it. During the Reformation, the place was ransacked, all the treasures taken, and the site reduced to rubble. Enough funds were generated to build Nonesuch Palace. Henry VIII's dream of a fairy tale palace, there would be none such in the entire world. It was his gift, supposedly, to Anne Boleyn, the woman who stole his heart. There's been much said of the relationship between Henry and Anne. She was beheaded. She had to be. In those days, it's difficult to define Henry's actions in terms of 21st century morals, but he absolutely believed he was doing the right thing. The kingdom needed an heir. He needed a son. His first wife, Catherine, actually had 10 children, and I think it was 3 sons, but none survived. The only one who survived was Mary. A girl child was just not good enough. And when he risked his kingdom, he risked the wrath of the Catholic world descending on England in a religious war. When she failed to produce a son, she had to go. A strange time in English history. The Tudors are some of the most well-known of all the monarchs, possibly because the story is a bit salacious. dynasty began the golden age of England as a country that had real influence in the world. We are a nation of explorers. We seek out new things. We are a bit restless at heart. We're all sailors, looking out at the sea from our tiny little island and wondering what is over the next horizon. Which eventually led us to the new world, to our distant but beloved cousins. Very much a Tudor town. Perhaps one day I'll tell you some more and take you to Kenilworth Castle. I don't have enough time today. You'd have to spend, well, at least a few hours, possibly a day there. And there are things I must do. Boring, mundane things I have to do. Not looking forward to going back home. I'd prefer to be in the sunshine, I think. At least it's peaceful here. At least there's nobody. Well, a walk in the sunshine is exactly what you need to clear your head, isn't it? Give you a few more shots of my surroundings and let you take in the ambient sound of birdsong. This is the Church of St. Nicholas. It's an original Norman keep built circa 1089 and 1090, something like that, I think, just after the Norman invasion. My daughters were christened here. There, we used to come to the Christingle service every Christmas, celebrate my Saints' Day. 6th of December, St. Nicholas. Haven't done that for a good few years. But I know this church very well.